Every few years, comedian Sandra Bernhardt reveals a different side of herself. She started off playing comedy clubs. In the film King of Comedy, she gave an obsessive, sexually menacing performance. A couple of years ago, she made a rock album of her own songs, and no one seemed to know whether it was her bid for rock stardom or a parody of the rock world. Over the years, she's become known for her unpredictability during her guest appearances on The David Letterman Show. Sandra Bernhardt has a new one-woman show that's a hit off-Broadway. It's called Without You, I'm Nothing. In the show, she satirizes her own fantasies and her own ambitions.
Well, as you can see tonight, I'll be breaking down the proverbial fourth wall whenever I so choose. Call Carrie. She's waiting. A musical version of Carrie. What an up night at the theater. Well, this is theater my way, and I want you to feel free to join in whenever you want. But remember, Bruce, it's the time of the season for loving. Welcome!
Is this show a chance for you to work on your own terms without having to worry about the industry, either the film industry or the music industry, but to just really show what you can do and what your sensibility is?
Exactly. That's what I've been, you know, planning for since I put this particular show together, and certainly since I've been doing live performing over the past 12 years. I've sort of started looking at my performing as performing for the people as opposed to the business. You know, I'm not pandering to the business, and if they come to me, it's because they see I have an audience, and I'm not trying to mold a persona for them and what feels comfortable and safe for show business.
You have a lot of parts of your performance that are about the women of rock and roll.
Right.
Now, you came pretty close to being one yourself. You had a rock album out a couple of years ago, and you were on the road touring for that.
Yeah.
Was being a rock star one of your fantasies?
Well, I kind of look at myself as a rock star right now because I, you know, I appeal to that same audience as well as a lot of other audiences. So there are elements of what I do that I consider rock and roll because it's such a, you know, powerful, spontaneous show that I've kind of satisfied those desires. Now, in terms of taking myself seriously and entering that arena like, you know, a Joan Jett or Lita Ford or any of those girls, it's kind of ridiculous for me to do that because I've established a certain persona and point of view that would be very conflicting.
What do you think of as the persona that you've established that is in such conflict with taking rock and roll seriously?
Well, I mean, I satirize and parody almost everything in our culture, including that.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be kind of, you know, ultimately ironic.
After your album came out, did you feel that you failed, you know, as a rock star? You know, that
miserably.
Uh-huh.
And I'm happy, but no, I think I'll have another chance.
No, what do you think was responsible for the failure?
It was such a departure from anything that I'd done before. I think now maybe I'll have a better chance because of my show, people know that I sing.
There's a, I'm going to refer to your act again. You spin this great story about meeting Stevie Nicks and embracing, and you say, I am obsessed with Stevie Nicks. You know, she's such the kind of magical woman.
Right, absolutely.
What do you think of that whole image of the magical woman of rock?
Well, she, like, represented, like, another generation of women in rock and roll. She's managed to cross over, but it was almost that early 70s kind of thing, you know, where it was a bewitching, you know, witchy lady trip. I don't know, it's funny to me. I mean, I like her music, and I like her. I like her persona. And I like that she hasn't felt the need to, like, completely change it and become very 80s. I mean, I think she's modified it, but she still wears platform boots, which I think is the hippest statement that anybody could make.
When you were touring after the rock and roll record that you made,
right?
Did you want to be taken seriously as a rock performer? I think, let me put it this way, I think people don't know how to take you sometimes, and when you're being really literal and when you've put this really sarcastic spin on something, an ironic spin on it.
Well, I guess I'm just going to leave them guessing. because I don't know sometimes either.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because that's, I had a feeling sometimes you really don't.
I don't. I really don't. It's terrible, or it is what it is, but I have so many different sides to my personality and my psyche that one night I can, like, you know, I'll go out there and the main point of view is rock and roll, or the next night it is theater, or it is sincere, or it's completely insincere, or it's angry. I'm whatever mood I bring in, I bring it to the stage, and I don't try to hide it. And I think that's probably why I might have problems doing a serious play.
Now, the first movie that you made was King of Comedy. You played a fan obsessed with a showbiz star who hosts a late-night show, kind of like The Tonight Show, and the host is played by Jerry Lewis. And you kidnap him and try to seduce him, and he's horrified.
Yes.
When you auditioned for that, did you ever find out what characteristics Scorsese spotted in you that thought you'd be the right person to, that made him think that you'd be the right person to cast?
I think just what I was just saying, my ability to improvise and be spontaneous and be very raw. I mean, I was 25, 26 when I got that role, which I can't believe. It seems like time has just flown by. And it was at the time in my life when I would have laid everything on the line in that situation or in many situations, and I did night after night as a performer. So it was really no stretch for me to go into a situation like that and just do it.
Let's do something crazy tonight. Just get insane. I want to be crazy. I want to be nuts. I want some fun. Damn it, my doctor says don't have any fun. You can't have fun. No, you're not allowed to have a good time. You can't get crazy. See, I have to be in control. And I like being in control. But you know, for one night, I'd like to see myself out of my head. Wouldn't you like to see me out of my head? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be fabulous? I'm having a good time.
I don't know if I would be able to do it now. I don't know if I'm quite as relaxed about the whole thing.
Or maybe quite as hungry?
Well, I think I'm still pretty hungry. I don't think you ever lose your hunger, but I think you do lose your lack of fear. I mean, it was just at a time when I just didn't seem to have any fear of anything. And I don't know if I feel like being quite that revealing at this point in my life.
Because you're too public now? Or because you're older?
Because I'm older, you know, and I don't not necessarily think that I have to lay everything on the line every night of my life just to, you know, perpetuate my career. I think that, you know, there's a balance of privacy and holding some things back from the public and from the business.
Now, I should say here that you have an incredibly striking face.
Thank you.
And it's not conventionally pretty.
No.
And I think a face that isn't conventionally pretty kind of eludes a lot of people in Hollywood.
Yeah, it does. But it's eluded a lot of people my whole life. So I don't necessarily want to attract people who find Fawn Hall beautiful. I couldn't make the statements that I make looking like Fawn Hall. I'm just using her as an example, you know, not for no particular reason. I'm not Mary Hart. You know, I'm not the girl next door. I am maybe the girl next door, but not the one you were expecting.
Do you think of yourself as a feminist?
Well, I've said it for a few years now that I think I'm the product of the feminist movement. I think everything I say and do and all my actions are the results of the fight. You know, I don't think I need to make feminist statements. I think I am the kind of ultimate feminist statement. I'm a woman living her life without constant fear and constant excuses and that, you know, defeatist thing that I think a lot of women have gone through because they didn't feel good about being women.
Sandra Bernhardt's one-woman show, Without You, I'm Nothing, runs in New York through May 29th. She's featured in Nicholas Roeg's forthcoming film, Track 29.
What's your name? What's your name? Give it to me slowly, one more time.
fresh air.